Last week, analysts said $500 a share for Google sounded about right. This week, the market says otherwise. For Tuesday, November 28th, 2006, this is PodTech News. Apple rumors, they move the headlines, but if you're still wondering about the all-but-confirmed iPhone, here's another rumor to chew on, the iTablet. Not another Newton. This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez. It may not be much of a setback, but many investors yesterday suggested Google's stock was not worth more than $500 a share. The company's stock had jumped above that mark last week. While Google led the losses on the NASDAQ yesterday, investors appeared generally skittish amid concerns around holiday spending, oil, and news from Ford that the auto giant is going to do some serious restructuring using billions in assets as collateral. In other Google news, lawsuits, lawsuits, and more lawsuits, and lowered expectations. PodTech's Matt Kelly has the story.
The French film company Flash Film filed suit in the Paris Commercial Court, charging copyright infringement by allowing Google Video users to stream or download the documentary The World According to Bush. By enabling access to the film for free, Flash says Google Video France runs afoul of France's intellectual property laws. Google is also the subject of other lawsuits, one from a group of Belgian newspaper publishers over the way it posts story clips in Google News, while book publishers are also suing Google over its book search offering. Meanwhile, Google shares, which topped $500 apiece last week, are overvalued and poised to fall. That's according to Barron's, which said the company's growth rate is slowing while expenses are growing. Barron's added the price advertisers are willing to pay for key search words has fallen, while spending on research and development, sales and marketing, and general and administrative expenses are all expected to outpace revenue growth. Analysts predicted a 33% gain in Google's earnings for 2007 versus the 81% increase the company is on track to produce this year. I'm Matt Kelly in Los Angeles.
The rumor of iPhones makes for good buzz. There are enough Apple fanatics to fan the flames of demand for mobile phones from Apple that would be just like iPods, but with the added features of a phone. But what about a gadget that ties together everything in your life, not just music? What if there was a new device that made it possible for you to switch off the lights, turn on the TV, and play some downloaded video podcasts? And what if that device was beautifully designed and had a completely intuitive interface? What if it was made by Apple? And what if it worked? Wouldn't that be cool? Yes, it would. Catherine Girardeau has more on this newest Mac rumor, or the most recently revived old one.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. That's because the universal remote digital life control device used a touchscreen to pipe holiday music through the home entertainment system, turn on the Christmas lights, preheat the oven to bake cookies for Santa, and selectively disengage the home security system so the reindeer wouldn't trip it when they landed on the roof. Just in time for the holidays, it's the latest Apple rumor. No, not the iPhone, that's so last week. This week's rumor is fresh, well, sort of, from the Australian lifestyle tech website Smarthouse. The site claims sources in Taiwan say Apple researchers have built a working prototype of a Mac tablet PC, and that three offshore companies are costing out the parts. Just what would this tablet Mac do for its home and education customers? Well, besides controlling just about every, we assume Apple-branded, device or system in your home or school, it will also supposedly have a docking station and an HDMI connection for high-def monitors. Apple and the Apple rumor mongers have been toying with this idea for a while. There was the Newton PDA in the 1990s, and a swirl of pre-Macworld rumors of an Apple tablet PC back in 2003. Here we are, in late 2006, and the consumers are nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of touchscreen universal digital iHome devices dance in their heads. Just in case any of these dreams come true, you might want to save a little bit of that holiday tech gadget spending spree for after Macworld 2007. From the PodTech Rumor Mill in Menlo Park, I'm Catherine Girardeau.
And finally, some regular old iPod news. Perhaps you remember the animosity between the Beatles' Apple label and Apple. That could turn into a friendship, according to a report in Fortune magazine. The Beatles' catalog may become an exclusive of iTunes, and the little Apple on the iPhone could even be branded with the Fab Four's Granny Smith logo. Hold your breath or don't hold your breath. It's a nice rumor anyway, isn't it? Some tennis players suffer from tennis elbow. Now it looks like some Nintendo Wii players are suffering from a similar injury dubbed Wii elbow. This according to a Wall Street Journal report, and PodTech's Rio Pacino explains.
The Nintendo Wii's motion-sensing controller may be considered a revolution in gaming, but it's also causing aches and pains for some gamers. Several Wii owners have complained of a number of injuries from repeated use of the controller. A 12-year-old from Kentucky reported numbness in her right arm after copying the motions of bowling and boxing in Nintendo's Wii Sports game, and a computer programmer from Minnesota complained of sore shoulders after playing Wii Tennis. In response to the reported incidents, Nintendo Vice President of Marketing Perrin Kaplan says, quote, "If people are finding themselves sore, they may need to exercise more." For PodTech News, I'm Rio Pacino.
If you can hear my voice now, you might be familiar with the term Web 2.0. If you're in marketing and you get what I'm talking about, you're in some pretty rare company, at least according to some marketers. Michael Klinger has the tech marketing stat of the day.
Every once in a while, there's a survey that tells us a lot more about human nature than anything else. 79% of marketers say they don't know what Web 2.0 means, and only one-third of the remaining 21% are actually using it. That means that 7% of marketers get it. They understand it, and they say they use it. Put another way, 93% of survey respondents either don't get it or don't use it, or both. These numbers from Zoomerang's Web 2.0 survey suggest that not everyone has a crystal-clear understanding of what Web 2.0 actually is. Well, it sounds to me like 93% of marketers surveyed don't want to look dumb, and the remaining 7% don't want to look old-fashioned. The trouble with the statistic is that no one knows what Web 2.0 means. It's so poorly defined that it might not even exist, technically. So here's yet another way of looking at the new study. 79% of marketers feel uneasy when asked about murky, poorly defined buzzwords. 21% feel slightly more confident about embracing poorly defined concepts, and a full 7% of marketers feel right at home throwing around murky, poorly defined buzzwords. With the Tech Marketing Stat, I'm Michael Klinger.
Now for something truly tech, at least in the movies, it's the RoboCup. The latest competition happened at the University of Western Australia this weekend. The competition pits robots. In the case of the Australian competition, it was robot dogs. But in many other cases, it's just plain robots that stand on two legs. And they play soccer, or football, if you prefer that word. The big showdown is July of next year in Atlanta. Mark your calendars. That's our show for today. PodTech's Daily Brief is produced by Michael Klinger, Rio Pacino, Matt Kelly, and Catherine Girardeau. I'm Jason Lopez.